You know, I asked you last week how many of you had your Christmas lights up or almost had your Christmas lights up, and some of you still had some work to do. So here, another question. How many of you have all your Christmas shopping done? Let me see your hand. Oh, look around. Look at those overachievers. Nice. Okay, how many of you almost got it done? You know, you're in the safe zone. Okay, good. How many of you haven't started yet? Like, a lot of you. All right, there's time. There's time. We have faith that you'll get it done. We're going to continue this very messy Christmas sermon series today. And today's message, I'm simply going to call Messed Up Christmas. A Messed Up Christmas. You know, the holidays seem to bring out the best and the worst in most everybody, and especially here at the Christmas time, in the Christmas season, during the holidays, it seems to bring out depression, discouragement, loneliness in a lot of people. So if you're here today and you're going through any kind of tough season, a challenging season, you're here on a good day because we're going to be talking about what to do when your plans fall completely apart. What to do when everything gets messed up, because that's really the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas is God coming in and messing up everybody's plans. Mary and Joseph, just start with them. They just planned, they're engaged to be married, going to start a little family. You know, all they wanted to do was just get married, settle down, have a nice peace and quiet little life. And all of a sudden, God steps in and says, hey, I've got a new plan for you. Mary, you're going to be pregnant. It's not going to be Joseph. And you're going to be carrying the Son of God. Can you imagine any woman in this room today, God just shows up and through an angel shows up and says a message like that? Well, God completely messed up their plans. But they weren't the only ones. There was a king in that day called King Herod, king over Judea. He was not Jewish, but he was king over the Jewish people. Was appointed by the Roman Empire, so he was kind of paranoid about his throne and was always afraid he was going to lose his throne, so he was kind of insane and out of his mind. So he just killed everybody. He killed his wife, he killed his mother, he killed his brother-in-law, he killed his two sons to protect his throne. He was out of his mind, and God came in and messed up his plans. But then the Jewish religious leaders, they were another group who God messed up their plans. They had been praying for, believing for a Messiah, which simply means the anointed one. They'd been believing for the Messiah to come, and all of a sudden, the Messiah shows up, and their expectation was that the Messiah was going to help them overthrow the Roman Empire, whom they had been living under the oppression of. But it didn't turn out that way. This Messiah starts teaching them things like, love your enemy. Do good to those who persecute you. Pray for those who despise you. Return good for evil and love your neighbor as yourself. And the religious leaders, they're just saying, this doesn't sound like the Messiah that we were expecting. God messed up their plans. God messed up the plans of the shepherds. They're just out there expecting to spend another quiet night under the starry skies, and all of a sudden the skies light up and an angel shows up and says, hey, you guys better get to Bethlehem because the Savior of the world has been born. Totally messed up their plans. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever messed up your plans? Yeah. Some of you are in Dallas because God messed up your plans. You had plans to live somewhere else. I'm just curious, how many of you had plans to live somewhere else? And yeah, look at that. God missed it. See, God loves Dallas. He knew we needed you here. Some of you are in Freedom Church because God changed your plans. You didn't really want to be here. But God changed your plans. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't even want to know. I'm just going to believe everybody wants to be here. The fact is, God has a way of coming in and changing our plans. But if we're honest with ourselves, not everything that happens in our life is God's will. Sometimes there are things that happen in our life because it is our fault. We make decisions. We put ourselves in certain positions. But then there's other times we end up in certain circumstances, no fault of our own. It was somebody else's fault. They're the one who cost us the company or cost us the department or cost us the marriage or cost us, you know, the investment. It was somebody else's fault. And then sometimes it's nobody's fault at all. It's just life. Life happens. Things change. Seasons change. But we find ourselves in this imperfect world. It's filled with people who are imperfect, who sometimes we make decisions that hurt other people. Sometimes that's intentional. Sometimes it's unintentional. Sometimes we hurt other people, and sometimes it's intentional, but most of the time, it's unintentional. We don't ever mean to just, we don't set out to just hurt people, but it happens. But not everything that happens in this world is God's will. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because God's will is perfectly done in heaven, it's seldom done here on earth. But that's why Jesus taught us to pray this way. And the reason it's seldom done, his will is seldom done, is because we have a free will. And because we have a free will, we can choose to go our own way. We can choose to make our own decisions. We can choose to make our own plans, and so does everyone else. So we can't blame God for all the problems in the world. But listen, sometimes in the middle of our life journey, God steps in and he intervenes because he wants to do something special in our lives. And he just messes up all of our plans. Not because he gets a chuckle out of seeing us scramble. No, because he wants to do something special in our lives. And in order to do that, he has to change the direction that you're going. Now, some of you may have some great plans for the rest of the year, which is coming to a quick end. Some of you may have some great plans for next year. Maybe you've already planned out 2024, and you've got some great plans, some great big dreams, some big ideas, and that's great. But you need to be prepared for the fact that God just might step in and change all of those plans. Now, that doesn't mean don't plan. I love the new year. I love an opportunity to restart. I love an opportunity to refocus. I love that. And I think everybody should take advantage of the new year to start over new, making some plans. If you want to call them resolutions, that's fine. Resolutions, a new plan, new dreams, new goals, something to make 24 a better year than 23. Because I bet every one of us have room for improvement in some area of our life. So why not take advantage of the new year to try something different, to do something different, to initiate something different? But sometimes when we do that, God steps in. He says, yeah, I'd really like to do something better in your life, so I'm going to change those plans. Proverbs 19:21 says this, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. That doesn't mean that we don't make plans, but just understand, the Lord's purpose will prevail. And sometimes that means a complete overhaul of our plans. Sometimes it's just a minor tweak to some of our plans. But we need to be prepared for God to step in, intervene, and change our plans, because that's what we learn from this Christmas story. So what do you do when God changes your plans? What do you do when he comes in, he puts a detour sign up in front of you and makes you go a different route than you were planning on going, and you're in unfamiliar territory, and you're having to travel down roads that you didn't expect, that you didn't plan for, that you weren't trained for, that you haven't studied for, and all of a sudden you find yourself in unfamiliar territory because God has changed your plans? What do you do? Well, three things that we learn out of the Christmas story is this. Number one, when God changes your plans, he's trying to get your attention. Now, if we were responsive enough, I don't think God would have to go to such extreme measures to get our attention. But sometimes the only way for God to get our attention is to change our plan. God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. And sometimes he has to make things difficult in order to get our attention. Pain in our life, disruption in our life, detours in our life, is God just saying, hey, is anybody home? Is anybody listening to me? Is anybody paying attention? Because sometimes we get in such a rut of even doing good things that we're not listening to God, and God's trying to direct us left or right, trying to tell us when to stop, when to start. And we're just in autopilot, man, and we're just flying down the, I mean, we got cruise control set, and we're not even paying attention to what God is saying. And so sometimes he's got to inflict enough pain to get our attention. It's like when you're watching, I'm sure, and we all do, all watch MMA. But when you're watching MMA, somebody gets the opponent in an arm bar. And at some point, that guy, he's either got to tap out because the pain is too great, or he's going to get his arm broken. And sometimes God puts us in that arm bar, and the pain gets so great that he's just, believe me, he doesn't want to break your arm, but he will. He just wants us to tap out, say, I surrender. I mean, think about it. God's plan for Mary and Joseph, it was so incredible. It was so out of the ordinary. It was so unique, so unbelievable, that he had to do something extraordinary in order to get their attention. So what do? He sends an angel. And this angel shows up to them and begins to share this story, share this plan. And I know that most of us, well, let me just speak for myself. I know for myself, in order for God to get through to me, sometimes he's got to inflict a little bit of pain. I'm not a great listener, I'll admit, because if I don't admit it, Starla's going to tell you anyway. I'm not a great listener. I have this problem, and I've admitted this before, but I blame it on my undeveloped prefrontal cortex, okay? I don't really know what that means, but what happens is when somebody starts telling me a story, I can't help it. My brain starts writing the script before you finish the story, and I've already made up my own narrative, and I think I know where you're going, and most of the time I'm wrong, but while all that's going on inside of my head, I'm totally missing the point, and I know none of you are going to want to talk to me anymore. I apologize. I'm doing better. I'm working on it. My Christmas wish is for focus and attention on whatever is being said to me, especially if it's my wife. Y'all pray for me. But listen, what is God's Christmas dream? Here's God's Christmas dream. Psalms 81:13 says, I wish my people would listen to me. God wants us to listen to him. Because if we would listen to him, he wouldn't have to inflict so much pain in our lives in order to get our attention. Because why does God want us to listen to him? Because he's trying to prevent us from experiencing certain problems in our life. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death or the end of destruction, or it's a dead end road. I mean, come on, how many times have we made our mind up that we're going to do something and everything else around us is saying, don't do it, don't do it. And we've made our mind up and we're so hard-headed, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to start that business. We're going to take that job. We're going to move to that city. We're going to marry that person. We're going to unmarry that person. We're going to do whatever it takes. I mean, we're just going in. And we're not listening to anybody. Well, God shows us that sometimes there's a way that seems right to a man, but it usually ends up a dead-end road. That's when God tries to step in and tries to redirect us. I mean, it's like when we were kids and our parents told us, hey, don't stick your finger in the fan. Were they trying to keep us from having fun? No. Did they say that because they didn't like us? No. They had a different perspective. They'd had their finger in the fan before. They knew it's not a good thing. So they would give us direction based on perspective. And listen, we need to understand that God has a different perspective. He sees things that we don't see. He knows things that we don't know. And so he's trying to give us direction. I mean, just think about what Mary had to do. The plan that God gave her, although it was a better plan, it wasn't necessarily an easy plan. But everything that God does in our life, it's for our good. Okay, listen, I said number one. When God changes your plan, he's trying to get your attention. Number two, when God changes your plan, it also means that God has a better plan. God has a better plan. God's plans are better than my plans. Can somebody say amen? God's plans are better than your plans. Jeremiah 29:11, I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I have plans for you, good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I'll give you hope and a good future. As we go into 24, you don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what's going to happen, but God knows what's happened. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what the future holds. And so he's trying to give us plans that will make our life better. Mary and Joseph, their plan was just to get married, have a baby, start a family. But God comes in and says, I've got a better plan. Through you, I want to bless the entire world. That's a better plan. It's a bigger plan. It's a plan that allows them to step into their purpose in this life. And most of us, if we would realize, God's better plan for us usually is the key to our satisfaction. It's the key to us doing what we were here for. And I know that's easier said than done, but 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no one has ever seen or heard or imagined the wonderful things that God has prepared for those that love him. He's prepared something wonderful for us. But sometimes, and here's where some of you are going to want to get off the wagon, sometimes that plan is harder. In order for God to get us where he wants us to be, we have to go through a harder journey, a harder season. Here's Mary and Joseph. She's about to deliver this baby. And the angel comes to her and says, the census says that they have to go to Bethlehem to sign up for the census. So what happens? They have to get on a donkey. She's 9 months pregnant. And they have to travel 4 days, nearly 90 miles. Now, who would have thought that plan was a good plan? It doesn't even make sense. But God was with her and was going to sustain her. So as uncomfortable, as painful, as difficult that it is, then she gets there and she has to give birth to the baby in a manger. She has to give birth to the baby in a barn, in a stable. That doesn't sound like a good plan. A better plan would have much rather been in somebody's home or in her home, surrounded by family and friends. But God had a plan. And I'm sure that Mary asked the question, why? Why me? Why now? Why here? Why this? And I bet every single one of us have been in that same situation when our plans got changed and we find ourselves in that situation where it doesn't make sense, it's not comfortable, it's not easier, and we ask God the same question, why? Why me? Why now? Why here? Why this? And some of you may be asking that question right now. Why me? Why here? Why now? Why this? We just want something a little easier. We want something a little better. Here's what Jesus said in John 13. You don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough to you later. You've got to trust that God's going to make it clear. So when your plans fall through, know this. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you a better plan. And here's the third thing as the worship team comes back. When God changes your plan, he's saying, I want you to learn to trust me. I simply want you to learn to trust me. If there's anything that we get out of this today, God wants you to trust him. Imagine how this whole Christmas thing tested Joseph's faith. Imagine how it tested Mary's faith. And when God changes your plan, he's testing your faith as well. God's plan for their lives was so different, all they could do was trust. It's not quite that way with us. We have a choice. But yet it's just as important that we learn to trust him. Whether it's starting a church, whether it's starting a business, whether it's starting a new relationship, whatever the challenge is, you've got to learn to trust the Lord. And sometimes you don't know that God is all you need until God is all you've got. When you realize he's all you've got, that's all you need. And the Bible tells us there's only one way to please the Lord. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We've got to trust him. We've got to have faith in him. And when we put our faith in him, when we trust him, then we please him. You trust that he knows what he's doing. You trust that he's wise. You trust that he's caring. You trust that he loves you enough to lead you, even though it may be through this difficult season. He's going to bring you out refined as pure gold. He's going to bring you out in a better place. Romans 8:28 says this, we know that God causes everything to work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. We know this. We're not guessing. We're not hoping. We are certain that God's going to work all things together for good. And that's not a promise for everybody, but that's a promise for everybody who will say, God, I want to go with your plan, not my plan. He will work all things together for good. God's got a plan for you. I don't know what that plan is. You don't either right now. I don't know what God may do in the next week, in the next year. I don't know. But I am confident that whatever God does will be better. It will be more rewarding. It will be more fruitful. It will put us all in a position to fulfill his purpose for our life. Look at this last verse, and I'm going to stop. Psalms 138 says, the Lord will work out his plans for my life, for his faithful love endures forever. The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for his faithful love endures forever. This is really what the angels announced that first Christmas, God's plan, that a Savior would be born to you. A Savior would be born for us. Now, here's the difference between God's plan and our plans. When we start thinking about our plans, we think about what we're going to do this afternoon. We think about what we're going to do next week. We think about our 5-year business plan, maybe a 10-year business plan, where you may have plans to get your kids out of college, or plans to save enough money to get married, or plans to be able to retire at a certain age. All of that is very temporary. You know what God's plan is for us? Eternity. A Savior has been born. What was the Savior born to us for? To save us from our sins so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. His plans are eternal. So when we start thinking about, oh, God, you're interrupting my plans, you got to remember God's plans always involve eternity. They involve the long haul, the whole picture. We're just caught up on today. We're caught up on disruption right now. We're caught up on the fact that, you know, I'm in an unfamiliar territory. No, exchange your temporary plan for God's eternal plan. He'll take you places you could never imagine. He'll take you places that you've only dreamed of. God would never step in and disrupt our plans just for the fun of it. But he would only do that if we were headed the wrong direction. Otherwise, he's just going to be wind in your sails. So accept his interruption as a blessed warning. Accept his interruption as a peaceful way of saying, hey, brother, hey, son, hey, daughter, this way, this way. Don't fight it. Don't fuss about it. Learn to trust him. Just learn to trust him. That's how we please him. That's how we find favor with him. That's how we learn to walk in his divine will. Trusting him. Can you trust him today? Stand to your feet with me, and if